Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know.
Good morning, 809 News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. Spence Golden Morning News, and every Wednesday while we are in the run-up to the 200th anniversary of Escambia County, we like to have one of the authors or the author of the article of the week in the Pensacola News Journal related to that 200-year anniversary. Joining us now, we have Carter Kina. He is a local architect and a historic preservationist. He's been on the City of Pensacola Architectural Review Board, ARB, you sometimes hear it referred to. He was a Florida Historical Commissioner from 02 to 08. And he has an interesting family connection here to Pensacola. We'll tell you about that in a moment. Carter, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning, Andrew. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. Great to have you. I guess we should just go ahead and get it right out of the way to start. People may know your name, may sound familiar if they don't know you personally, because you are, in fact, the descendant of somebody who has a house that was here, one of the few surviving houses here at the time in 1821. Is that right?
That is true. Desiderio Kina lived at the on Alcony Street. It is now the Kina House Museum. It was built around 1810, and the Pensacola Historic Preservation Society has maintained that since about the 60s, and it is open for the public, and it's a wonderful example of what houses looked like back when Andrew and Rachel Jackson came to Pensacola.
And we have just, I think, is it right? We just have the two buildings. That is one of them that are surviving from that era of this kind of home. Is that right?
That's true. Right around the corner, Isaac Wright House. Now, this is privately owned, so don't go knocking on the door. But it's right around the corner. It was built just before 1800. And both of these homes have similar features. The front porches, the roof slopes from front to the back. So you get to use a little bit of the attic for a sleeping loft. There's usually a back porch. Now, there was always an outdoor kitchen and an outdoor privy. Those were in the backyard. But the Isaac Wright House, actually, its backyard faced Pensacola Bay. Main Street was where the water was back then, and there was no obstruction between it and its back. So you could imagine all those wonderful houses looking out across the bay. Rachel Jackson had mentioned in her writings that she loved the sea breezes from 10 in the morning to 10 at night.
But she was not a fan, and they were not particularly fond of the general state of housing in Pensacola when they got here in 1821. Is that right?
Well, it was completely dilapidated. I'll read this quick little letter from Moses Myers. It says, Pensacola covers nearly a square mile, constructed of low, numerous wooden buildings. The streets and almost everything else in a state of nature. The shipping unprovided with a single wharf or other convenience. And so it would have remained in the hands of the Spaniards who leave all to nature, as if unwilling to disturb the sacred order. I love that. In other words, why mow the street?
That's not praise. I love that. In the classic classic capacity for understatement, it looks nasty, and yet in the Spanish, I love that way they put that.
That's right.
So for somebody
absolutely. And of course, I think they were ready to turn it over to the U.S. when they did.
So the houses that were being built around this time that started to be built after, we took over basically and, you know, Escambia County was founded, were they generally all of this kind of style, like a single family, you know, story and a half, was that kind of what people built generally?
Yeah, mostly. And the shotgun house, you know, two rooms, mm-hmm. either a single room with each lined up behind or a four square with two rooms and two. Was typical, and the commercial buildings were almost like that, except they would possibly have a second full story built. Jackson mentioned the gallery that she would look out over what is Government Street, I believe, or Zaragoza Street, rather, where the Tivoli House was a reconstruction of a commercial building that was built at the time, and it's now in the village. There's a couple of other older homes that were relocated, but they're also from the period, the Julie House and the Lavalette House, also in the village.
So let's go inside for just a second and tell me, you know, it's almost hard to put yourself in the 1821 mindset. There are certain very obvious differences of home living then versus now. You did not have plumbing and you did not have electricity. Let's start there. How was convenience functionality different?
Well, right. This was mostly shelter. I mean, wood floors, wood walls, wood ceilings even. Plaster was sometimes used when they could afford it. paint was hard to come by. Probably the most important piece of furniture in the house was an armoire, which they would sometimes set into trays of, I'm not sure what kind of poison they used, but they had to resist rodents and insects and humidity because that was their food source. Of course, they would cook in the backyard, and the soils in Pensacola weren't so great, so growing crops was a real challenge. The colonists had a lot of trouble just surviving. Thanks to Mobile and the French, they would actually import goods from there, and therefore storage of them was important. A dining room table like you and I are used to, that was an elegance. Most everything was made, handmade, and used, and the beds were made out of rope that would tie together, and they would use some of the mosses and stuff, mattresses, and I can imagine they all had some tea and flea and tick powder.
Wow. So where, I mean, where do they eat? They're just on the floor, on the porch? How did they, you know, because...
Mostly on the porches.
Okay.
Yeah, they had these little handmade fold-out tables that they would use for different things. But it was, you know, in the summertime, you can imagine you're not going to want to be inside very often. And if you notice, the Kena house has two front doors, and at the time it had two back doors. So when it was really hot, they would open the front and back doors, and the breeze would go through. And of course, the galleries, the porches, help shade the sun. It's interesting now that you're seeing some of the new construction in Pensacola, all featuring front porches, sometimes double level galleries.
Uh-huh.
That we're actually learning something from the past. The character of the architecture from 1820 is now being rebuilt here in downtown Pensacola.
Yeah,
I find that actually very wonderful.
I saw that in one of the developments that just went in between Spring and Balin. I forget which cross street it's on there, but yeah, the same kind of thing, like the gallery overlooking, or like you see at Seville Quarter, where you have an up and a down below.
Yeah,
hey,
right.
You know, you make me think of something. It strikes me that if there's not much paint and there's not much preservation capability for the wood that you're building these houses out of, plus we have termite problems and on, it seems to me like it's almost amazing that even two would have survived, because I assume the houses would dilapidate pretty quickly and then you'd just build a new one. Is that right?
Well, except back then, these were all first-time cut old-growth pine trees.
Okay.
And the wood resource that we had growing here when the settlers came was magnificent. It's really one of the first resources that was shipped around the world. If you bought a antique from England today, it's likely that it may have been used from wood that was cut in Baghdad or Milton. It's amazing. It went all over the world and came back as furniture. So that high-quality, dense, naturally resistant heart pine wood was used for the framing and the floors and the walls. I'm sitting in my 1901 house right now, and the floors are the same as they were when they were built.
Oh, wow. So I have it backwards. Because of the character of the wood that we had domestically, it was more able to persist. It wasn't the kind of build it and then live in it for a few years and then build a new one. Okay. Well, that's why I asked these questions. So fascinating. Well,
the most difficult one was the roof shingles. The roof shakes were the most difficult to maintain.
I'm sorry, the roof, you said the shape or the shingles themselves?
I'm sorry, the shakes, they would actually split the wood pine and create shakes, and these shakes were layered to create the roof.
Very good. Well, such fascinating stuff.
Later they developed metal roof.
Carter, every time I talk to one of y'all for this series, it's just amazing to me the stuff that I learn. It's so fascinating. The article is, of course, available at pnj.com. Carter Kena, he is a local architect with ties to, I'm going to butcher this, Desiderio Kena. Did I get it close? Desiderio.
You got it right. And there was a Desiderio Kena and a Junior.
Oh, very good. Outstanding.
They are buried in St. Michael's Cemetery.
Oh, excellent. Well, Carter, thank you for writing the article. Thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you for doing what you do to preserve our history and teach us about the architecture. I appreciate it, sir.
You're very welcome. Have a wonderful day.